I was born on the south side. I was raised on the south side. Everybody stick together like we in the land. Cause it ain't no side like the south side. On the south side.
South side.
South side.
South side.
I love John Coltrane to start a show.
Yeah, I wish we could afford him. From WBEZ Chicago and Comedy Central, this is Southside Stories. I'm Bashir Zawabedin.
And I'm Diallo Riddle. We're the creators of the TV show Southside. And on this podcast, we're taking you to the streets to give you stories about real people and places on Chicago's Southside. Now, if you've been listening to this podcast from the start, we're about to return to some familiar streets.
Or if you got a late start and say, this is your first episode, well, just keep listening. We welcome you.
Of course. I mean, if mementoing this podcast is more your style, I mean, who are we to judge?
By the way, lovely word, mementoing. I think you made that up.
I've been waiting years to use it.
Spoiler alert, we did not make it to where the Obamas lived in the previous episode.
We were so close, but at least a couple of miles.
And that's right where we'll begin again this time, because we're going back to Inglewood.
Who doesn't love a good sequel?
On the TV show, we talk about the need to get away sometimes and find that special place that you can go. Oftentimes, we think we have to go far to find that place, but sometimes it's closer than you realize, especially on the South Side.
I mean, growing up, what were some of those places for you, man?
You know, I had a really engaged family, so, you know, I would walk down to the basketball courts and all that, but really, you know, Museum of Science and Industry is where I would spend so many hours, mostly because that's, like, outside of, like, Evergreen Plaza, that was, like, one of the few places that kids and black kids could just go hang out all day and not be harassed. So it ended up being quite the hot spot.
In Atlanta, I had a creek that ran behind my house. Yep. It was a pretty sizable creek, Utoy Creek. And so I would always go down to
they
the creek and sit on the rocks. Oh, yeah, Utoy Creek. I just would go down there and sit on the rocks and, you know, jump in the water when I was a little bit younger and, you know, fight off, you know, burn off the leeches. And, you know, every now and then we'd see a crane or a snake or something.
Now, this creek was in a black neighborhood.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about Atlanta, especially on the southwest side, is that, you know, it was still really rural. So, like, people would have, like, full-on woods behind their house. And, like, you could actually walk to my elementary school through the woods or along the street. If you walked along the street, it might take you, like, half an hour. But there was a 15-minute shortcut if you cut through the woods. Now, granted, those are some deep woods. We
dangerous
did not go
woods.
In those woods. You know, like, I will say, like, black people in Atlanta, like, we always had this thing, like, you don't go in the woods because you don't know what white people might still be living up
there. I was going to tell you that, you know, I know that creek goes to a black neighborhood. Y'all might call it Utoy Creek. Your white neighbors call it something else.
What does it call it other than Utoy Creek?
It's a tasteless joke that jumped in my head that I'm not going to say because this is NPR. And they don't like tasteless stuff unless that's the point of the segment.
There's a woman from Inglewood named Tanika Johnson who we thought would have quite a few interesting places to share with us.
That's because she's a woman of hyphens, photographer, community activist, artist, and self-described concerned Inglewood resident.
She created this really cool thing called the Folded Map Project, which tries to address segregation in Chicago.
Yeah, and since the city's on a giant grid, you got streets that run the city limits south to north. What Tanika and Folded Map are doing is taking those streets and comparing the differences in the blocks on the south and north side.
Oh, that's pretty cool. And on top of that, she co-founded a group called Rage Inglewood. Now, if it sounds familiar, that means you either live in Chicago or you've been listening to this podcast from the beginning.
Right. In episode two, our correspondent, Kelly Howard, went to a monthly party in the park that Rage Inglewood throws called So Fresh Saturday. They do it every month in the summer and offer music, food, games, and lots of resources for residents.
And if this wasn't sequel enough, Tanika decided to take us to the Inglewood Trail, which Kelly also visited in that episode.
Oh, and I see that trail isn't even an official trail, just like the creek behind your house in Atlanta. This is a black neighborhood trail. It's an old railway line that's been abandoned for decades.
I mean, we used to take those porter jobs quite frequently.
I still, to this day.
If this every now and then thing doesn't work out, you're going to be a porter.
No, money's tight. I just, you know, put on my I put on my shiny cap and my double-breasted brass suit.
All aboard, sir.
Change my name.
I don't think they make you say that stuff anymore.
Oh, they do. People in Inglewood, you know, they want this space to be for residents where families can get closer to nature without having to travel miles away.
And joining Tanika on that trail were our producers, James and Bia, and another member of our talented crew of correspondents.
The one and only T-Murph.
Chicago ain't as bad as people make it out to be, okay? Number one, they are gentrifying our thugs. Yeah, I don't know if you know this or not, but thugs and hipsters both got on H&M skinny jeans, okay? You can't be a thug in those skinny jeans. Come here and tell some, I'll kill everybody. Not with that camel toe. No, you won't.
Before he was a comedian, Murph worked, this is going to shock you, as a black guy, but he worked as a barber.
I think every barber has a stand-up career. That's kind of true, right?
Well, I mean, but it is, you, it's a little trying to be funny, but the truth is, it really, like, any time I get a haircut, they got jokes.
That's another place where you have to keep people laughing.
There have been so many, TV shows about it. Yeah. People just love the vibe of the black barbershop.
And barbershops, they're, those are tough crowds. Like, you know, sometimes you'll go to the guy because he cuts your hair, but other times you'll go there just because. That's not true.
They don't want to hear everybody's jokes, by the way.
What?
They don't want to hear everybody's jokes. They want to hear, like, you can't just come in there and start joking, because then people might, you know, they'll be like, you're not.
This brother can't do a fade. He's just here for the jokes. But, you know, Merv, James, and Bia hopped into Tanika's car and headed down Halsted Street to one of the Inglewood Trail's entrances.
Oh, yeah.
He used to come up here and go shopping. That's why I got my prom suit, winter ball.
It used to be the spot.
All up and through here.
I know.
What block are you originally from here in Inglewood?
62nd and Loomis.
Okay. Squad.
62nd and Loomis. I used to joke and say I can't ever escape because I've always moved away, but I've always come back. Always. So welcome to the Inglewood Trail. Look, he's
is this the traditional entrance to the trail?
So the trail has several unformalized entrances. This is on 58th and Halsted, right next to the Viaduct. And so this is the only entrance that has a walkable hill. The other entrances are really not entrances. You gotta, like, steep climb, you know, up some rocks. So, yeah, I'm gonna just turn over here.
This is very walkable because I was looking. I had my Yeezys on, and
and
I refused to do any climb.
Very, very Yeezus approved walkable. Yeah.
He knew he had to be on the trail today, right?
I don't ever take my clean shoes on a nature hike.
I'm not going to sit here and proselytize about African Americans, but the nice shoes, you know, to the trail, to the pool, to the beach.
Full confession, I don't even play basketball in my Jordans. You know what I'm saying?
They're so expensive. They're so nice. Guys, black people, we need to get up on flip-flops.
I think the time period in which I was a teenager in Chicago played a huge role. Like from 93 to 97 in Chicago, I went to so many parties in Chicago. And I just really got to know my city in a way that would shape my values as an adult. I would have to go to the 63rd and Loomis bus stop at like 5:45 in the morning. So majority of that commute was the train ride. And so I was just looking out the window on the train and on the bus. And I was like, why does my neighborhood look so different from the neighborhood that my high school is in? Is it the crease or just the dirt?
Nah, my suede. I just don't want my suede to be, because when suede get dirty, it's done. It's over with.
You can't use the brush.
Nah, that shit over with. Not on these.
Yeah, he knew he was covered on the trail. Why did you? Well, you knew you was going to 63rd Street Green Line. You shouldn't even wear those.
I can fight them. I can't fight the grass.
No, but it's dirty.
I'm putting all the hassle.
They got gravel sidewalk. Oh, this is gonna be bad. I should have gave you some flip flops.
I'm a genius. I just want to put that out there. All right, go ahead.
It'll be better when we get to the top.
How far are we going?
To the top.
Shh.
You got it.
Come on, let's go. Whoa. Jesus Christ.
You want to get on my back?
One of the questions that I asked in my folded map project was, is your place of peace in your neighborhood? And so a lot of teenagers use this trail, a lot of people actually, and it is just such a beautiful, serene, elevated trail because it has grass, and then since it's elevated, you're at the top of the tree, so the leaves come down, and it's like you step into a whole nother world, like a little Alice in Wonderland world in Inglewood. So if you were to walk, you would start to hear the birds that live there. You'd start seeing the butterflies. Like, it's a whole separate
ecosystem.
Yeah.
This is gorgeous. I've never been up here.
I know. And then when you go walk on the bridges, people will see you like, hey, because they just, I don't know why we make, like, people famous or something when they're elevated or...
So he's going to stay right there.
He's looking at the wrong way. Look this way. Don't look that way.
Oh, no, I was looking that way. I got these things, right? They call allergies. And there's so much grass, so much pollen, so much. And I'm just like, I can't do it. I can't do it. Oh, they going deep. Where y'all going?
Okay, so here's the T-Murph. We love you. You know, he's a friend of the show. We love him to death. He also has allergies. He should have told us this. I would also say, actually, one of the other things I want to say is that their laughter and their interaction, and they don't even know each other that well. For me, that is part of the heartbeat of the South Side and of Chicago. That laughter, that just silly, I don't know you, but we're having funness. That's what I heard growing up.
Sadly, this is the only, like, path where we have trees that can make a canopy, you know, that's not on the streets. We don't have trees on the street like this. See, these are one of the things that you discovered as an adult. Like, I could never come up here as a child.
I mean, there's so many butterflies up here and birds. It's like,
look,
Jumanji.
It is. You start hearing all kind of birds because we're closer to their nests. And so you hear their babies, you hear.
Let's walk down maybe to this next bridge and then come back for the boys.
I know. Someone asked me, they're like, are you scared to come on this trail? I was like, no. I was like, you are so visible on this trail. Like, people from that stop sign half a block away see you up here.
Right.
So, no. And trust me, people looking out their back door window, who's walking up here? I was like, it's actually safe.
Yeah.
You know, so to have a safe space like that in Inglewood when people don't think it's any is really important.
So I have to go there. I've never been.
It's like we should shoot something there.
We should absolutely season two do something there. And
I'm hearing Stand By Me from the Stephen King movie.
58th and Halsted is the entrance, folks. Take your family. Go on a nice walk.
Somebody right now is like, oh, damn, man, that was my little secret.
I will. By the way, you know,
they podcast.
You know what's crazy, though? People always feel that way. Even in, you know, we briefly lived in New York, and people feel that way. You know, they always feel like they discovered the Lower East Side. It's like, I don't think you did, buddy.
You know, there's a little statue out in the harbor.
A little something called 10 different movies. But I would also say the thing that always surprises me about Chicago and the South Side specifically is how green it is. Mm. You know, we were making our TV show. We were talking about color palettes. And you don't, again, you don't see that. You kind of see urban jungle vibes. Yeah. But, you know, we shot a lot of the pilot on the 87th and the Dan Ryan Woods.
Yeah.
You know, we had literally had to go out there and spray the woods with some organic vegan chemicals to kill all those bugs so we could shoot.
Yeah, don't send your protest letters to us, please.
Guys,
we didn't kill any bugs. We chased them away.
We gave them a good reason not to come back.
I will say that, people don't realize, like, urban areas in most places are full of green.
They think it's all concrete, you know, jungle.
Concrete jungle.
I think it's like Rucker Park.
No, they're,
I don't know New York.
Lots of green in the jungle.
But anyway.
Rucker Park.
Then that's not the end of things just yet. Tanika had one more place to take Murph and the crew.
Yeah.
But before we go there, we got to take a quick break.
Oh, man. You know what? But it won't be long. Whatever you're microwaving could use an extra 30 seconds anyway. So come on back.
Welcome back, y'all.
See, we told you it wouldn't be that long. Quit your complaining.
And now that delicious potato and chives is the exact amount of temperature
that you wanted. Yeah.
I don't know what you make at your house. Is it popcorn?
We're not surveilling you. Go ahead and eat whatever you like.
Pop-Tarts.
Hey, so Tanika had one more place to take T-Murph and our producers, and it's the type of special place where many of us have probably spent some time. I'm talking about the porch.
Or if not a porch, maybe it was a stoop.
You know, as a black person, anytime I say the word porch, I get nervous.
It's charged.
I want to know what's charged. Coming next.
You know what I find is that I think
but there's a period after porch.
You know what you can say, though. African-American is to black as, I would say, the front steps is to porch.
Let's start calling it the front steps.
The front steps.
Yeah, I like that.
They're out there on the front steps.
Look, regardless, I think Murph's Yeezys will be much relieved.
Now, Tanika took the crew to her friend Aisha Butler's porch. Now, if you don't know Aisha, she co-founded the Rage Inglewood Group with Tanika. She's its president. And they met up on Aisha's block on 66th and Union.
As a kid and as a teenager, since I did have two uncles who were like my brothers, they definitely gave me restrictions on where I could go. So, you know, some of the parks was off limits and I wouldn't learn about till I was an adult. Like, oh, that's why they said I
could not go. You know, the BDs over there.
Exactly. I could not go on Bishop Worth, nothing. So as a result, your front porch becomes like your haven. It becomes like your gathering space. It's like where you come to play games. And then as you become a teenager, it's like where you hang out at. This is a porch that make us feel like we the women in color purple sometimes. We just be. We come here after Inglewood Village meetings that we host bi-monthly at different schools around Inglewood. We come here, have our debriefing with wine or whiskey. My preference, whiskey. Other people's front porches is like, all right, well, I'm going to go come hang out with you on your porch. So porches are definitely a huge part of like the teenage gathering space. And even corner stores, like your trips to the corner stores are like bonding moments. So, you know, that's a part of what you do when you're bored and how you get to know your friend, what you talk about on the way to the corner store. So those are the ways in which the locations that when I was growing up, that were really important to me. And then as I become an adult, I still see that that's a tradition that's kind of carried on.
Hey, how you doing?
So this
doing
is fine. Aisha.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey, how you doing?
This is my porch.
Great to meet you, Aisha.
Hi, nice to meet you. Aisha. Nice to meet you.
President of Ray.
Yes.
So now she was telling us that this spot is like a haven for you all. Especially like in the summer, to like to decompress. Like
if you think about it from a design idea think tank, that's what the porch has become. Now we also relax, but a lot of thinking and ideas and projects do emerge from this porch. I mean, it's a cultural thing in Inglewood. Like we love your porches, and so a lot of brilliance have either crossed through the porch, and you just never know. Might get people practicing in the street. You might get a domestic dispute. You might get somebody coming over to freestyle.
What I've learned, and going back to what you were saying about the porches, that's big just in our culture in general. When you look at black folks, like that's the place, as you said earlier.
We bring it from our down south southern experience.
Yes. You go to Mississippi.
Very African based as well.
Yeah, you go to Mississippi, you go to Memphis, you go to all these different places, and you just ride through neighborhoods and you just see people outside on the porch. I was born and raised in Kankakee. And so me and my cousins, that was it. Where you at? On the porch?
Exactly.
I feel so bad when I see a stoop and people don't really have a porch. I'd be like, oh my God, I really feel for life? Them. Right. Like, it's just one stoop. Like,
out there chilling on the porch.
Yeah, we love it here.
That's the hangout spot. That's where you decompress. That's where you go and you just get a feel. You kick it. You know, you might have a cool outside on the porch.
That's right.
You know?
Nailed it. I mean, even the movie Friday. I mean, they literally sit on the front porch and they just watch the neighborhood.
And in New York, it was the stoop. It's weird.
The neighborhood entertains you.
In Atlanta, it was literally the street. People would literally just stand out in the street. You know, cul-de-sac maybe, but just like you would be on the street just standing there.
That seems really dangerous.
not that many cars driving through. And that's also how you knew what streets to avoid, because like you drove and like there were just like five dudes just standing in the street. You're like, I'll just U-turn.
You know what's interesting? I didn't grow up in Los Angeles. I would not be surprised if in down on Crenshaw, South Central, certainly some of those neighborhoods, that you see that more. But certainly in and around Central Los Angeles, I think it's very rare to drive down the street in Central LA and see just a group of kids sitting on the front stoop or front porch just hanging out. I do see it when I go to the South. I see it in Chicago, Atlanta. Have you seen that in L.A.?
Not in Sherman Oaks. No. I haven't seen very few of that. I will say that
you guys should do that and freak out your neighbors. Hey, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? How you feeling? Is that your dog you walking?
And then you'll be the new, and then you could be the next guy on the TV that the police come to your house and arrest you in front of your own house. Then we got to watch it.
Then we can have a beer summit.
We got to tweet about it.
Shout out to First Lady Michelle Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Stick around after the credits, because we've got more than just ads this time. Other folks were eager to tell us about their own special places on the South Side.
And we're pretty sure you can wear Yeezys to most of them. So enjoy. Got it from David, and it go crazy. South Side Stories is a production of WBEZ Chicago and Comedy Central.
I'm Diallo Riddle.
And I'm Bashir Salahuddin.
The producer is James Edwards, with production support from Bia Medias.
The executive producers are Steve Raises and Kevin Dawson.
Special thanks to Kellen Parker, Jeremy Westfall, Dara Frank, Michael Blyden, and Brendan Banizek.
Some of my special places on the South Side will have to be Myron Park on 71st and King Drive, the Martin Luther King Skating Rink and Bowling Center.
One special place on the South Side is Farrell's on 31st. Summers are really hard for me because I have bad anxiety, so it's really hot and I get agitated a lot. So I'm like, let me go get Italian ice from Farrell's. So they have the fresh fruit, and my favorite Italian ice flavor is the cucumber refresher.
I like to go to the Studio Grill because it's a movie theater, but it's like a sit-down and eat restaurant.
Like, I remember the first movie I saw here. It was Alien Resurrection. It was like right after this first opened, like 97.
Yeah.
And then from then, like, I've seen like at least 100 movies here.
Japanese Gardens, that's where we're going.
Fucking graphic. God damn it.
See, y'all put my shoes through enough today.
We're gonna go up here on this trail. We're gonna walk over here. Y'all even have my shoes on 69th Street. What I'm saying is, my shoes have been through too much.
They've been on an adventure today.
Oh, they did not want this adventure.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.